Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's episode, we will be discussing the impact the emigrant Scots had on the native peoples in the country to which the Scots moved. We will be focusing on the impact of the Scots on native people in Australia, Canada, India, and New Zealand. When moving abroad, emigrant Scots obviously met with and built links with native people. Sometimes these links were positive, but at other times they caused problems for both sides. We'll begin by discussing the impact that the Scots had when in Australia. There was extreme tension between immigrants to Australia, such as Scots, and the native peoples. The British gave native Australians the name Aborigines, although this wasn't a name that the natives used themselves. Land arguments were the main cause of conflict between Scottish settlers and Aborigines. The Scots wanted land for farming and to build towns, but this often meant taking Aboriginal land, including that which was sacred and holy places. Professor Tom Devine, a well-known Scottish historian, has pointed out a strange element of Scots taking Aboriginal land. Devine states that it was ironic that some of those who were most notoriously involved in the taking of native land were themselves Highlanders who had been forced off their land and suffered clearance. Arguments were also caused when Aborigines took animals that were being farmed by the Scots. All of this led to battles between Scots and Aborigines, and many Aborigines were killed by the Scottish settlers as a result of this. One infamous attack involving the two groups took place at Warrigal Creek in 1843. 20 settlers, led by a Scottish emigrant named Angus MacMillan, hunted down and killed at least 60 Aborigines, and possibly as much as 180. Disease was also an issue which caused problems for native Australian people. Many Scots and other European migrants carried with them diseases such as smallpox. Aborigines could not cope with these illnesses, and large numbers died as a result. Scottish emigrants also had a role in splitting up Aborigine families. Some Scots believed it was their job to civilise the Aborigines, whether by teaching them the Christian religion or other actions such as learning to speak English. Large numbers of native Australian children were taken away from their parents and sent to schools where they were taught European values. Governor Lachlan Macquarie set up the Native Institution to teach the Aboriginal children. Children who went to the Native Institute were only allowed to see their parents once per year. And between 1869 and 1969, 100,000 Aboriginal children were forcibly taken from their families, often never seeing them again. Other Scots tried to influence Aborigines by changing their religious beliefs. Missions were set up to not only try and convert Aborigines to Christianity, but also to allow emigrant Scots to continue their faith once overseas. Emigrant Scots in Canada also had an impact on native people. There are three groups of native people in Canada. They are the First Nations, Inuit, and Métis. Some people refer to them as Indians or Eskimos, although many of the native peoples dislike these names. Scottish migrants to Canada had a mixed relationship with native peoples. Although at times there was an example of positive relations, there were also issues which led to arguments, especially concerning land. Some Scottish and British settlers tried to build links with native people, including trading and also providing them with medical care. One reason they did so was to try and win the support of native people in wars against other Europeans. It was not just the Scots that provided help. The native Canadians also gave support to Scottish settlers. They taught the Scots various skills which were essential to surviving in Canada's extreme winters, including where to find food and how to make clothes. The positive connections between Scots and some groups of native peoples were also evident during World War I and World War II. It's estimated that around 6,000 native peoples from Canada fought on Britain's side in the wars, many of them volunteering to do so. Given that many Scottish men made the journey without a wife, there were also some marriages between Scots and native peoples. The mixed-race children of these relationships were known as Anglo-Métis, and they sometimes faced hatred and prejudice. Treatment of the natives, including Métis people, eventually led to extreme conflict. The Northwest Rebellion of 1885 saw natives take part in a violent uprising against the Canadian government, although this ultimately failed. There were also conflict between natives and the settlers about land. Europeans, including the Scots, wanted Canadian land in order to use it for farming and other purposes. This often meant taking land owned by the native peoples. Other Scots had travelled to Canada as missionaries and tried to convert natives to Christianity. In some cases they succeeded, however, other natives were angry at the criticism of their own religious beliefs and the attempts at conversion. In 1876, the Canadian Prime Minister, Scottish-born Alexander Mackenzie, oversaw the passing of the Indian Act. This said where many native people were allowed to live, and also saw their children being taken away from parents to be educated. The Indian Act included other provisions, such as banning some native religious practices, including sun dances. The rules imposed by the Act inevitably led to fights between natives and settlers, and later resulted in court cases too. One controversial policy in which Scots were involved was residential schools. This is when native children left their homes and were given a European-style education, including learning about Christianity and speaking English. Some natives agreed to send their children because they believed it would help them. However, others were angry at the poor treatment the children received, including being forbidden from speaking their native language. Emigrant Scots in India also had a different impact on the native people. Scots ultimately made up a tiny proportion of all people living in India, but they also held a lot of power. Although there are examples of positive links, there were also instances of very poor relations, including violence. British settlers, including Scots, traded with the Indians and helped make some tribal leaders rich as a result. This obviously led to Scots' presence in India being supported by those leaders, and it brought some benefits to other Indians too. Some Scots integrated into Indian society. There were instances of marriages between Indians and Scots, and at the start of the 1800s, around one-third of all British men in India were married to an Indian woman. Many Scots' role in India was as part of the military. Scots went to India as part of British Army regiments, including the Sutherland Highlanders, and their job was to provide protection for British traders and also to control the local populations. A great many Indians resented Scottish and British presence in their country. British actions in setting up a government in India, taking control of the country, led to anger from Indian nationalists who wanted independence. The most prominent example of resistance to British rule was the Indian Mutiny of 1857. Indian soldiers who worked for the British East India Company in the town of Meerut started a major rebellion which soon spread across India. At least 100,000 people died as a result of the fighting. Scottish army regiments played a major role in ending the revolt, led by men such as General Colin Campbell. It's also worth noting that some Indians fought alongside the British during the mutiny, rather than against them. Some British decisions in India received a mixed response from Indians. The British outlawed some practices, including slavery and fuggy. The latter was an action in which armed gangs would attack people and commit ritual murder. Britain also banned suti, where a wife was burned alive after the death of her husband. Some Indians did not want these practices to end and were angered by Britain. However, other Indians welcomed the positive changes that they believed these brought to their lives. Some British actions in India improved the status of Indian women. This not only included the outlawing of suti, but also let women get an education, as well as banning the practice of child marriage, meaning that from then on girls had to be at least 14 to marry. However, other actions from the British were not especially beneficial to Indian women. For instance, the British Army set up chaklas, which were brothels that were to be only used by British soldiers. Many women worked in these places because they came from poor backgrounds and had little alternative. Many Scots, such as Alexander Duff, who went to India, did so as missionaries to spread the Christian message. They established churches across the country and converted many Indians, suggesting elements of a positive relationship. Many missionaries also helped develop education in India, again improving relations with Indians. However, other Indians who were from different faiths, including Hindus and Muslims, were offended at attempts to change their beliefs. Another country in which Scottish emigrants influenced the natives was New Zealand. Scottish relations with native New Zealanders, known as Maoris, were often very difficult. Although there is examples of good relations between the two sides, there are also cases of extreme violence. Initially, there was positive links between Scots and the Maoris. Scots traded with the native people that they met, and the Maoris responded by helping the Scots to survive winters in the area, including supplying food. Land issues, though, inevitably led to arguments between Scots and Maoris. The Scots wanted land to start farms and set up towns, but this meant taking control of land which was used by the Maori people, especially in the Otago area. Scottish farms being set up across New Zealand had a major effect on the environment, and resulted in the mass clearance of trees to create suitable land. This had an influence on how the Maori people moved and hunted. Partly to try and stop these land disagreements, some Scots made deals with the Maoris to buy land. However, this often led to other problems. For instance, it was not always clear who actually owned the land, or many Scots would claim wrong land from that which they were supposed to. The 1840 Treaty of Waitangi was a legal agreement between the British government and Maori tribes. The British wanted this to allow them to buy land, and some Maoris wanted this in order to get military help against French forces. The treaty agreed Maori ownership of land, and that the British government was the only body which was authorised to buy this land. However, the treaty was not backed by all Maoris, and many leaders urged others to reject the deal. The deadliest period in Scottish Maori links were the New Zealand Wars of 1845 to 1872. This involved regular battles and hostilities between settlers and the Maoris, often caused by arguments about land purchases. Examples of battles during this include the Northern War and the East Cape War, and it's estimated that around 3,000 people died as a result of these conflicts. Roughly 750 British deaths and more than 2,000 Maori casualties. Many of the Scots that went to New Zealand did so as missionaries, hoping to convert the native people to Christianity. However, many Maoris did not change their religion and were angry at the Scots' dismissal of their beliefs. Many Maoris, though, did change their religion and built good links with Scottish missionaries. There was instances of missionaries trying to protect the Maoris during periods of conflict between Scots and native peoples. Some Scots also married Maori people, although these relationships often led to criticism. Some Scottish churches later sent women from Scotland to be the wives of male missionaries to prevent Scottish and Maori marriages.